Hello, hello. This is Kathy Colas Audiobooks, and today we have episode 15 of The Alpha by E.J. Findorff. Wayne tells Maggie about his childhood and how he ended up this way. Maggie contacts Angel and tries to get help from her in a roundabout way. Here we go. The dinner had ended without utensil impalements from Wayne or her papa. Wayne played the antagonizer, even though the entire dinner was a farce. How much Wayne enjoyed the situation didn't sit right with Maggie. Another torturous morning arrived. She spent 5 minutes in the living room watching Amy and Courtney playing a card game in dim lighting. Amy's tablet sat beside Courtney. It couldn't be connected to Wi-Fi, or Courtney might be able to figure out how to send a message. The bed probably smelled horrible, considering the suffering that has happened on it. Courtney's held it together so far, bless her heart. She had gone through another round of hell, and she still managed a smile for Amy. It almost felt as if she had gained a second daughter, and Amy a big sister. She said nothing to Wayne as he prepared a bowl of cereal, immediately doling out 2 aspirin from the pantry. He situated his breakfast and laptop on the island. She felt his eyes on her back as if she had entered a dark alley at midnight in a bad neighborhood. If he mentioned Hannah, she'd throw a knife at him. "Going to work?" she inquired while fixing a cup of coffee.
"I'm not going till later. I have a meeting with a client this afternoon, but my morning is free. You want to do something?"
That's funny. Wayne didn't have any coffee, but he always drank a cup. She looked at the pot. It was still full. Did he spike it? Was it poisoned? Was today the day?
"There's nothing wrong with the coffee, Maggie. I slept in and was hungry. I was going to have it after."
"Okay, have some now."
Maggie walked her coffee to the island and placed it down.
"Go ahead."
Wayne smiled, taking a healthy sip. She watched him, not turning away. He rolled his eyes and blew on the top before taking a substantial swallow. "There, all safe." She contemplated making a new pot, but her energy would best be directed to what mattered. She fixed her own cup with milk and sugar.
"Why are you still working?"
"Why?"
"If you're going to disappear and all."
"Quitting would be an inconsistency, a red flag, that can be easily avoided. Why invite speculation from any outside party?" He ended the thought with a spoonful of cereal.
"How do people get this game?"
"Word is spreading in the dark web underground. Eddie knows cyber criminals from his previous business." Wayne spoke as if they were discussing the weather. "It's selling like crazy."
"Won't the FBI track you that way?"
He exhaled, closing his eyes. "You have no idea how it works. Even when the feds find the site, they won't be able to track it down for months at least. We'll be all done by then, and the site will be taken down." Maggie held her sarcasm. Wayne was right about one thing. With a little time living under this arrangement, she found she could think more clearly.
"Tell me, Wayne, I'm curious. How did all this start? Where in your childhood did it go wrong?"
He appeared surprised. "Well, we were exposed to some weird shit from the start. But I suppose my father started us on this path when we were about 10. He'd film us at different playgrounds playing with other kids. Me and Eddie would invite the girls to play at our house, and my dad would film us. He'd have us act out scenes where we pretend to do adult things. Kissing, playing doctor, pretend murder."
"None of these girls' parents found out?"
"Kids were free range back then, especially in the sticks. But these girls never came back twice. Then, one day, he whispered for me to kill this one girl. For real."
"Jesus, Wayne."
"I did it. My father buried the body. Just another missing kid. We did that about every other week, it seemed. He knew which girls wouldn't be missed. We didn't draw attention to ourselves.
And as you got older?
When we became teenagers, Eddie's evil became focused in computers and the internet. Dark porn stuff, too. If it wasn't online, he didn't care about it. We went our separate ways for a bit. My father got into his own trouble. I perfected my skills. He gave a soft smile.
I thought about this for most of the night after you said I don't understand. That is part of the reason I'm frightened. I want to understand.
He dropped his spoon and stared at her. Be honest. You're not interested. You want me to slip up.
I want Amy back. If we're going to coexist while you finish making this game, I can't be scared of you, of what you are. So help me understand.
Seeing your father gave you a boost of courage, especially after he railed on me at dinner. Thanks for defending me, by the way. He continued drinking from her cup.
You don't see how sick you are, do you?
Wayne appeared confused. How can I explain if I don't understand it myself? It's just always been with me.
Wayne, I'm sitting across from you, knowing that you collect the eyes of the women you rape and kill. What can't you tell me?
Touché. He finally settled into a chuckle. Fuck, Maggie. You think getting inside my head is that easy? Maggie sprung up.
Did you marry me because I look like Penny? The girl in the picture playing the video game with your head in her lap.
Don't push me, Maggie.
Are you saving me for the big climax in this game? You're going to kill me.
You have to trust me.
Trust you, she hissed.
Okay, have a seat.
Don't bother.
So, my father was a handyman, like I told you, but he got a job in a hospital as a janitor. My father's employment allowed me the run of the place. When my mom was admitted to the hospital, I was there every day, running the halls. She never left. She died there.
How'd she die?
Suicide. I found out later she was on a psych hold. I spent a lot of time helping my dad and visiting patients. Penny babysat me in the trailer because my father was rarely there. She was my normal. Her death was unfortunate.
What was her story?
Her father would bring home drunk friends and prostituted her out when she was 14. At 15, she got an abortion and stayed away from him as much as she could. He shot her face with buckshot. I had nothing to do with that.
And you continued your relationship with her while she was blind?
Relationship. He tilted his head in agreement. I saw her a lot while she recovered in the hospital. She couldn't be released because her dad had been arrested. They were waiting for the day some organization for the blind could help her get settled.
You raped her in the hospital? Weren't there staff around?
The tiny hospital was a 50s throwback. Wasn't exactly state-of-the-art, or had doctors and nurses running around, stat. He folded his arms, seemingly upset.
Your brain isn't wired right if you have no empathy, no compassion. Something was wrong with you from birth. And with your upbringing, it was the perfect storm.
That, my dear, will be for the psychiatrists to figure out someday. And they'll have plenty of video footage to examine.
I appreciate you opening up to me.
Maggie almost threw up on those words. She exited the room. Each exchange drained more and more energy. However, now she had a trail to follow, if any of it were true. The cell phone rested between Angel and Stuart on the kitchen table. A conference call had been set up with Kyle and Ramsey on the other end. Stuart's mom served them biscuits hot from the oven with pats of butter. She then left to start her daily errands. The house was empty.
Okay, guys, we're ready, Angel said. Stuart, it's all yours.
Stuart cleared his throat. I picked up buzz on social media. Fake accounts have sprung up on Facebook, Instagram, pretty much all of them, advertising the release of Eddie's game called, yes, you guessed it, The Blindfold Killer.
Fantastic, Ramsey mumbled.
Stewie continued. He's email blasting malware to allow dark web users access to the site where they can buy the game with crypto. Who's getting the emails? Angel asked.
My best guess is dark web degenerates.
Angel said, did you download it? Stewie blew air from his lips.
Yes, it's in beta. I've started playing it today. It's pretty standard stuff. The Easter eggs are hard to find. I opened a car door I had no business going into, and real footage of a girl that isn't one of our victims began playing.
What? Kyle asked. A victim we don't know about?
I took a screenshot to email you. It's all I found so far. Thing is, the game isn't finished. There's updates and patches that'll be coming.
What's it cost? Kyle asked.
$100 in Bitcoin only. By my estimation, Fellows has millions in Bitcoin in his wallet.
That bastard is a millionaire from this. Unreal.
Angel tried a biscuit.
Stopping it would be like trying to kill a plague of locusts.
Let's track that site down, Ramsey said.
Angel and Stewart looked at each other. Stewart said, there's a notion out there that if you come across illegal activity on the dark web, don't report it because everyone in law enforcement already knows about it.
He's right, Kyle said. We could coordinate for months with foreign countries, Interpol, even with the Russian police, and we'd be hard-pressed to shut down a site, much less find out who's responsible for it. Why do we even try? Ramsey asked.
Angel said, no offense, Stewie, but we're going to need cybercrimes to get involved.
Well, I'd love to work with them. What scares me is the people looking to get this game who aren't familiar with the dark web. It's a scary place if you don't know what you're doing. A lot of these people will get scammed, hacked, identity theft, anything imaginable.
Doesn't security software warn people when malware is attached to ads or emails? Ramsey asked.
Depends on how sophisticated it is, Stewart said. But I'm guessing people who want to see this will turn off their protection, and a lot of people don't even have protection at all. The bottom feeders are going to have a feast with this.
This is huge, Kyle continued. Much bigger than just serial killing. We may need to expand the team.
Stewart asked, will the CIA take over the investigation? What about Interpol? What about us?
Good question, Kyle asked. We could get strong-armed if someone thinks we're not doing our jobs. They might even begin their own parallel investigation. I have to talk to the director. I know the Bureau's full arsenal will be at our disposal, but they question me every time I return. If things go south, the FBI will send in a second team.
It took an hour for Maggie to calm down from her exchange with Wayne. Watching Amy play without a care helped a little, while hurting a lot. Maybe Amy was in some remote parcel of land near his hometown. What was the name of this hospital? The parish could have medical records. Wayne had left his personal laptop abandoned on the island in plain view. It felt like taunting or a test. Was the position marked so that Wayne could detect the slightest shift? No, it was too easy to say that she bumped it or moved it out of the way. Maybe the laptop was a transmitter. Was he monitoring her right now? Were there hidden cameras in the room to record footage? Maggie scanned the kitchen for tiny green dots of light. Stupid. A hidden camera wouldn't have a light. The laptop had to be inconsequential, or Wayne would have warned her against it. The login screen appeared after opening the lid. She typed the password from when he had apologized with the video, but it didn't work. She tried a couple of words with no expected success. It didn't matter. He had been meticulous up to this point. Why would he leave evidence on something she could take to the cops? Was she going to wait around for him to kill her for this video game? How naive could she be?
He could never be truly safe while she was alive. But then why didn't he kill her the night she found the jar?
He was right about becoming the prime suspect in a spousal homicide. Maybe he was planning to use her in the video game. That made more sense than going into a serial killer witness protection program.
If Angel continued to dig into Wayne's connection to Eddie Fellows, she might uncover something.
What about Penny's accident?
Angel could certainly attempt to dig up all those details.
The quiet hum of the refrigerator grew louder in the kitchen. She returned to her own laptop for the latest video file, seeing Amy and Courtney sitting quietly, staring at nothing.
Courtney had to be running out of ideas on how to entertain a 5-year-old.
Maggie minimized the video and created a brand new email account. She wrote several paragraphs in a new draft containing everything that had transpired to this point. She scheduled the message to be sent to Angel a month from this date. It felt like a last will of sorts, or a deathbed confession. The rest of her day needed to be filled with something constructive. Wayne did order her to start up the relationship with Angel again. It was as if he wanted her to break, to confess.
Don't try to get in his head.
If she met with Angel, Maggie would only say they should be friends. Simple as that.
She scrolled for Angel's number and waited for alarms and sirens to go off.
A conversation with her would certainly fan the flames. This could be the worst decision of her life, next to marrying Wayne. But she pressed send.
Maggie and Angel arranged their rendezvous at Skinny Larry's on St. Charles Avenue. The initial excitement of seeing Angel again had only increased since their previous meeting. Having an ally sent a charge through her body. After a friendly kiss on the cheek, they sat in a glazed, carved-up wood booth against the wall. A streetcar could be seen out the window, dinging past on the neutral ground under enormous oaks. The sun's glare flashed off its exterior. Angel's first remark about her swollen eyes had elicited a half-truth about insomnia. Maggie tried to smile and force light humor.
Feels like when we were first dating.
Angel punched her straw through the Coke lid.
It does feel comfortable.
Her lie floated between them.
So tell me what's wrong.
You still believe something's wrong?
You have insomnia.
Let me rephrase. What's on your forehead, ticker?
Maggie fiddled with her straw. I need a favor with no questions asked.
Who do you need killed?
I left my list at home, she let herself laugh. I'm hoping our history still means something.
It means everything.
With less than perfect timing, the fresh-faced bartender brought two po' boys to their table, accompanied with a bag of Zapp's chips. He told his guests to enjoy before backing away. Angel flipped the bread over and sprayed ketchup from a generic container over the fried shrimp, followed by a stream of mayo.
What's the favor?
I can't promise anything until I hear it.
Fair enough.
Maggie followed suit with the ketchup. She had no appetite, but would fake it.
Do you have a tech guy that can get into my laptop?
Angel hesitated a beat.
Yeah, the department has a guy, and he's a good friend of mine.
Why?
I just can't get past the password. I forgot it, and I read that I might have to reinstall the system software, and I'd lose everything.
She rolled her eyes.
I'm so dingy. Can your guy just hack in through our Wi-Fi?
I know enough to say no. My guy will need the laptop.
He can't just go in through a connection?
Not that simple, my dear.
She stared blankly at her. Television makes it look so easy.
I don't believe you forgot your password. Is it Wayne's laptop?
Does it matter? Just get me in, and then I'll take it from there.
She looked at the golden shrimp sticking out from between the edges of French bread.
Why does it have to be a production with you?
Where's Wayne today? I still need to get a statement.
Working. He told me he didn't see anything.
He needs to tell me.
She took a casual bite and chewed slowly.
She swallowed. I can play this game better than you, Mags. If you want a favor from me, then you have to be truthful.
Fine. Forget it. I'll go to the computer repair place.
She turned serious. Great. They're obligated to call the police if they find anything you'd want me to ignore. Maggie took a quick sip from her straw.
You're so annoying.
It's my nature.
Well, wanting to get into my husband's laptop isn't illegal.
Angel watched her move chips around.
I'll do it.
I'll trust that I'm not risking my career and the career of the tech who's going to hack into a private computer.
Maggie frowned. He's cheating on me.
Angel nodded. And evidence is on the computer?
Wow. You don't give a shit at all, do you? Not even I'm sorry?
I am sorry. Honestly, he's a jerk. I hope you're woman enough to leave his ass if it's true. She popped a chip in her mouth.
You're certain? I checked his phone first, but he's careful. He has to have an extra email address. Once I have the password, I'll take it from there.
The OS will record any activity, so bypassing the password will leave evidence of it. How savvy is Wayne?
Pretty good.
My friend Stewie will need to get inside the computer so he can erase any evidence of what he did.
You'll see Wayne's files?
Unavoidable, if you don't want to leave a trace.
I see. She paused.
Then promise me, we'll talk through anything you find first.
She had to believe Angel would never put Amy's life at risk.
Promise.
Angel picked at the remaining chips on her plate. So, I'll need the laptop.
Right.
She exhaled as if she'd been holding her breath the entire time. How long will it take?
I'm not sure.
She felt that Angel wanted to yell at her.
Can it be while Wayne's at work?
Sure. How's tomorrow?
I'll make time.
I think that's good, but that laptop is not leaving my sight.
Angel finished the last bite. Better to be used than not wanted at all.
The NOPD won't admit the killer has Courtney Black. Any progress on finding her or Fellows?
Angel shook her head. If Courtney really is his next victim, then she doesn't have a lot of time. We've interviewed everyone. I got nothing solid.
I have faith in you.
Maggie reached out to squeeze her hand. She didn't let it go.
Thanks.
Angel looked past her. Then her fingers began to slip from Maggie's hold. She squeezed tighter, not letting Angel go for just a few moments longer.
And there you have it.
Don't forget to join me on Wednesday for episode 16 of The Alpha by E.J. Findorff. To check out more of my work, go to my website at kathycolas.com. That's kathycolas.com.
If you're an author looking to turn your book into an audiobook, email me at kathycolas@gmail.com. Let's talk.
And if you like the podcast, please leave a review or share it on social media. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you on Wednesday.